Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
I'm going to tell you something that is absolutely bat scat crazy, Cole. That teams that have swept their LCS are 0-4 and about to go 0-5 against teams that went to 7 games in their LCS. And I have a piece of advice for every manager in the future who gets into that position, whose team is unstoppable, unbeatable through the division series and the championship series. You sweep your way through to get to the World Series. You might want to think about throwing a game in game number 4. You might want to think about continuing your run of playing meaningful baseball leading up to the World Series, Cole, because history proves unequivocally that teams that sweep the LCS do not win the World Series.
I don't really know what to say.
Diesel, well, I don't really know what to say other than...
You're part of the problem.
You're part of the problem. That's
hey,
the craziest thing in the world.
Do you want to win the World Series or not?
Yeah, it's the craziest thing in the world. that statistic, that trend will not last forever like that, right?
Maybe not.
Right?
Maybe not.
You're telling a coach to go lose a game?
But
are you kidding me?
It may not last forever, Cole, but it's going to take a long time to flip that stat around the other way to make it seem like it's a good idea to go sweep your LCS.
How long would it take? Was it 4? What'd you say? It was 0-4?
Right now it's 0-4, and it seems like, because the Blue Jays are playing white-hot baseball and they're taking this series back to Toronto, back to Canadian soil, that they're about to make it 0-5 for teams that sweep their LCS. The Dodgers, they were just too good. They shot their shot a little bit too early. They had a little bit too much rest, too many massages, too much time spent with the wife and the girlfriend. I don't know. We learned from Mickey in Rocky, women weak in the legs rock. Don't go out and gallivant with the lady with the wives and the girlfriends. Don't do it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely truth to meaningful baseball. We've seen that. I just don't know if I can get on board with a coach saying, hey, guys, we need to, hey, here's the game plan, lose the game tonight.
Tank.
I mean, in other words, Diesel, that would be...
Y'all need to be fired.
That would be a case for Dewey to say, look, you're my manager, and I hired you, and I pay you millions of dollars, and you're telling me that... Your game plan is to not have a game plan and lose?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
That's exactly what I'm telling you, Cole. And it's not just teams that sweep in the LCS and their opponents go to 7. That's a fascinatingly narrow stat, really interesting there. But you know baseball. Baseball will split itself and fracture itself into a million and one statistics. But when you go back, Cole, and you look at all of the sweeps since 85, since they bumped this thing to a 7-game series, that's happened 10 times now. 10 teams have swept their LCS since 85. 7 of those teams have gone on to lose the World Series. Wow. So only three have ever gone on to win the World Series after sweeping since the adjustment to the 7-game World Series.
So I will say it is truly a shocker to me to hear that. It truly is a bomb drop, right? However, me being the stubborn coach that I would be or the manager, I'd be the one that wants to buck the trend, right? I'd be the one that wants to prove that trend, prove that statistic wrong. Ultimately, like I said, I believe at some point or another that trend's going to get bucked, but obviously it didn't happen this year. I also will say it's crazy to me that that's only happened 4 times in terms of you're saying it's only happened 4 times that a team has swept the championship series, right?
No, 4 times that a team has swept the championship series and their opponent went to 7
in their respective
LCS series.
4-7.
And the team that goes to 7 has won 4 out of 4
that's
times.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Right?
That's crazy. 4-7, you would think the team that swept, you know, is in prime position. They're the better team.
Yeah.
But
they're rested.
Look, after you watched what you watched last night, the Blue Jays are for real. And I was one of the ones that came into this series thinking, oh, there's no way the Dodgers are going to lose. And I even said last night, there's no way the Dodgers will lose 2 in a row.
At home.
There's no way. I had them checked in, locked and loaded to win last night. I had a little cheese on them. And obviously that didn't happen. The Blue Jays just look fantastic right now. And you got to tip your cap. But I don't know that I could stomach losing. I don't like to lose, and if I'm a manager, I don't know that I could tell my team to lose. But it truly is fascinating.
Well, we will certainly do our wellness check on Smitty tomorrow to see how he's feeling, because he is an unabashed Dodgers
fan. Oh, God, that's
fan.
Not good.
Does Smitty have any actual connection to the Dodgers, or did he just pick them?
I think his. I could be wrong here. I think he's told me before that his dad was. So he and his brother are. I know his brother pretty well too. And I think it's one of those where they've all kind of been Dodgers fans. They're also Lakers fans. So they're LA.
At least they're consistent.
Yeah, they're LA fans.
I saw a car the other day driving around that had a Yankees and God, they had a Yankees sticker on the back of their car, and then they had like some LA team, Yankees and Lakers. And I'm like, that's lame. You
of
can't
course,
do
that's
that.
Bandwagon to the T right there. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point. I forget about Smitty being a Dodgers fan, and then all of a sudden you look at what happened last night after we thought the Dodgers were unbeatable. Boy, oh boy, does tomorrow's game, game 6. I mean, it feels monstrous in a way where, like, we're going to say the same thing here. There's no way the Dodgers lose 3 in a row, right? Like, there's no way. You would have thought last night with Snell on the mound that there's no way they lose 2 in a row, but he didn't play well.
Snell got shelled.
He did.
First 2 batters come up there and hit dingers. Wow, what a start to that game. And ultimately, all it took was 2 batters to beat the Dodgers last night.
It's crazy, man. It was a close game until the Blue Jays kind of opened it up late. What was that, the 7th inning? They played it 2 runs. The 8th, they played it 1. Yesavage was incredible last night. Again, the East Carolina Pirate, 7 innings pitched, only allowed 3 hits, 1 earned run last night, 12 strikeouts. 0 base on balls. I mean, this guy, he's not walking people. He's striking them out. It's cool to see because, obviously, he's beating the Dodgers, but at the same time, it's cool to see because he's an East Carolina Pirate. He's a local guy. Grew up in Pennsylvania, but still, he went to school right up the road.
He's adopted. We'll give him a pass on that one. Man, just what a wild 6th inning or 7th inning there for the Dodgers. Snell just started getting wild, and nobody. They even went to the bullpen. And the bullpen pitcher was throwing wild pitches, plate and runs for the Blue Jays. I just wonder about the Dodgers mental state right now, having been shelled multiple times in this series. We haven't had close games except for game three, right? Is that the only close game, or was game two close? I can't recall off the top of my head, but game three going into 18 innings, which was wild.
Yeah, 6-2 on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then 6-5 was the game three was one-run game.
That's right.
That was the marathon two games where it went into 18 innings. But you're right. The pressure, before we get to the phone lines here in just a second, the pressure all of a sudden becomes 100% on the Dodgers. And I've got some stats after we go to the phone line, not only about your stat when it comes to teams who swept versus played for seven, teams historically that lead 3-2, what do those numbers look like? I'll tell you in just a second. T.A. and Gaffney wants to weigh in on what happened last night in the World Series. What's up, T.A.?
Hey, guys. Wow. Smitty's got family in California.
Does he?
So he's a lifelong Dodgers fan.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
His dad threw it by way of his father. Him and Alex love the Dodgers, always have.
Gotcha.
But I thought, and it's stupid to say this, and most people are going to say you're stupid for saying that, I'm actually a Blue Jays fan. I was drafted by the Blue Jays in the 19th round back in blah, 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 blah. So I'm a Blue Jays fan, but I started this series out with just falling in love with Ohtani, and obviously I have no connections with the Blue Jays now. I used to bird dog for them a little bit and go scout some for them, but I don't anymore. So long story short, I was pulling for the Dodgers, and it looked like it was a throwaway game. Snelly didn't have his stuff, and they went to the bullpen and just stuck with some bad stuff. And you're wondering what the manager is doing for the Dodgers, and it's almost like, I think they win game six because what's his name? I can't pronounce it. I think he probably goes the distance. And then you got
Yamamoto.
Yamamoto, there you go. Thank you for that. I think he goes the distance, gets a win. We go to a game seven in Toronto. And by the way, I think this is the best World Series since 1992 when Jack Morris went a complete game and beat the Atlanta Braves, even though I was pulling for the Braves. And the next year, 93, I got
Smitty. T.A., what do you think about, we were talking about Smitty, what do you think about the lineup shakeup, though? Because they lose 6-2. It's Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. And then Dave Roberts was asked about it last night. You look at what they did. You go Ohtani, Smith, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez. A little bit of a lineup shakeup. To your point, they didn't look like themselves last night.
No, that's not a good move. It's not at a good time. I think he got a little nervous. Our back's against the wall. It's 2-2. You do not change anything in a situation like that. Betts stays where he's at. Everybody's been working all year, and you get to Yamamoto, and you're going to win this game. I'm sorry, I can't help but predict the Dodgers win, and it goes seven, and then who knows what can happen in a one-game series. But I'm fully expecting the Dodgers to win. But as far as the lineup, I think he got a little bit afraid, and I just think he made a knee-jerk reaction. Let me do this. I might have done it one time earlier in the season when nobody was paying attention, and it worked. But it obviously didn't work, and you don't shake a lineup like that up. I'll let you guys go and marinate on it. But
hey, T.A., before you run, T.A., I want to ask you this question. As a guy that's played professional ball, what do you think about the slightly facetious intro to this segment, which was if you get up 3-0 in the LCS – you should tank a game to keep yourself playing. I mean, how much is a loss valuable in a situation like that? That it keeps you sharp, keeps you fresh, keeps you from being overconfident.
That's terrible. You can't at this point in the season. You got your foot on their neck, and you want to step on it and choke them to death. So you do not give up any games, even though it seemed like he was just doing things, leaving pitchers in too long.
Yeah.
And if he was saving them and they come back and win, then it's all for naught. It's still a bad move, I think, that he did it. And we can look back and always say that. But I think they get it together. And I think Ohtani, what about an Ohtani game seven start, pitches 5-6 solid innings? Maybe he's pitching better. What better way than the best player in the world to end up on the mound in Game 7 of the World Series? I mean, wow. And this guy, Yamamoto, if I'm saying that right,
yeah.
I mean, you could argue he's the best pitcher in the world right now. So I think the Dodgers aren't afraid unless the manager does something to scare them, like change the lineup up like he did. That's not good for team morale. And as a former player, when you see your manager doing that, and normally a manager would call a meeting and say, hey, guys, this is what I'm thinking. He just did it, as far as I know. I haven't heard anything else. And I know things stay in the clubhouse, but I don't see the team saying, hey, let's change now. It's 2-2. You know, our backs aren't against the wall. It's our last home game. Why would we change anything now? I think that was Dave Roberts just got a little bit nervous for the situation and made a knee-jerk reaction that I hope he don't always regret. I hope the Dodgers win two in a row. But to your point, absolutely, you never do that. And if you got somebody up 3-0, you try to finish them 4-0 and get rest. Rest is more important than, you know, you can take BP all day, come to the take ground balls. You know, you can do all that, sprint, run bases, whatever. You do not give up a game in the playoffs for no reason, none.
And, T.A., don't forget to get your upset pick in.
I will. I'm 1-0. I got one in, but I'm 1-0, so I'm back.
Make it 2-0, man. Appreciate you.
Okay.
Thanks, T.A. It's a good call. Really good call. I will say I agree with him on the Ohtani part. I have found myself this playoff. Obviously, we've watched Ohtani. But I found myself this playoff kind of falling in love with the guy. Like, you know, also, T.A. didn't bring this up. I don't know, compared to a couple of years ago, it looks like Shohei Ohtani is a different person. Like, bulked up, bigger.
He's huge.
He's just put on, it looks like he's put on a lot more meat and muscle. It really does. And how can you not watch that guy and not fall in love with him? I mean, he's incredible.
I still wish Ohtani would try to speak English to the post-game interview personnel. Even if it's broken English, it would be endearing to me to have him try. Apparently, he speaks pretty good English, but he chooses to speak through his interpreter because he wants to be very precise and very put together. But come on, man. If you mess it up, that's going to make us like even more.
Now, here's some trends, Diesel, historically. When a team is leading 3-2 in the World Series, according to research by the Society for American Baseball Research, when a team leads a best-of-seven series 3-2, the chance of winning the series is about 2/3. More specifically, in all MLB postseason series, not just the World Series, with a 3-2 lead, the leading team has won approximately 69% of the time. In the World Series specifically, the team trailing down 2-3 has come back to win around 1/3 of the time. So of the 64 teams that have been up 3-2 in the World Series, Diesel, 43 have won it all, which is about 67% in the World Series. Again, about 69% when you talk about all playoff series. So, like, I don't disagree with T.A. about the Dodgers still having a shot at this thing and it all coming down to that Game 7 in L.A., but Diesel, the numbers here and your numbers, like, it just doesn't look good for L.A. at this point. You've got to think the pressure has definitely mounted on those guys, even with all the talent they have.
Look, to T.A.'s point and to your point, no manager will ever toss a game. They will never give up a game ever. When you got an opportunity to close a team out, you don't want to even think about the possibility of a team maybe winning four in a row on you to take the series. But come on, man. You know, in a game that is so heavily based on analytics. I mean, they pulled Snell out when he was having one of the games of his life. I don't know if he's ever thrown a no-hitter, but back in the CS, mm-hmm. the LCS, he was having the game of his life and they pulled him. Why do you do that? Because the analytics tell him to pull him. And pitchers are having great games all the time, and the analytics tell them to pull them. Why do you do what the analytics tell you to do in certain situations but not in other situations? You either believe in the analytics or you don't believe in the analytics, and the analytics tell you that if you sweep the LCS, you will not win the World Series.
It's just hard, though, man. If you've, like, any organized sport you've ever played, it's hard to sit there and say, hey, guys, we're going to lose. I just can't do it.
Even if you make the decision to throw a young pitcher out there, you know, even if you try to get some experience and you – it's like playing your backup in a bowl game, basically, right? Treat it like a bowl game that doesn't really matter. You throw a young pitcher out there. You throw some guys that otherwise wouldn't have gotten into these games. You throw them. If you win the game, you win the game. It is what it is. But if not, you have to use them later on, at least they'll have playoff experience.
I sided with Jim Mora. I sided with him, what he said. You play to win the game. I'm going to side with Jim. Hey, Diesel, the betting odds have shifted a little bit, though. Toronto's odds improved after their win and subsequent performance. Exact outcome odds show value for the Blue Jays to win in 6 at plus 470 or the Blue Jays to win in 7 at plus 300 versus the Dodgers to win at plus 170. So the series total games, bettors are obviously looking at the over 6.5 versus the under, thinking that the Dodgers are going to force a game 7. But you go back to the probability and the stats and the history. It's important when you're talking about betting on this series, historical probability, 66% for the team, up 3-2. That gives the baseline expectation. But when you look at the matchup specifics, like the bullpen, fatigue, the pitching matchups, obviously the home road splits, Diesel, that can throw a wrench in things as well. But I just look at this, man, and think back to TA's point. Yamamoto's really, really good. That's going to be a big advantage for the Dodgers, but I just don't know how in the world the Dodgers don't feel the pressure. I mean, you're the better team, to your point. You swept the championship series. They went 7. You've got to feel like there's a lot of pressure on this team right now. And I would like to say it's going to go to game 7, but the Blue Jays are freaking good, man. Give them credit. They're a good team, right?
Dewey says Shohei Ohtani is a criminal, and he gambles on the sport, blames his friend, and is on steroids.
Criminal? No, criminal. Not Shohei. No, that's interpreter. That's the interpreter.
But I interpret that he's a criminal.
Jersey Joe says Jersey Joe's getting ready to send his upset pick in. Tolos 20 minutes ago.
Now Jersey Joe is talking in the third person.
I said Jersey Joe like 9 times. 20 minutes ago, the upset picks challenge opened. 844-326-3663. Lefty Tiger says to start the World Series, I was like, dang, guess I got to pull for L.A. because can't have Canada winning, but Toronto has changed my mind. Let's go Blue Blur. Let's go Blue Birds. Die Dodgers. Die. And then Lefty Tiger also says chop on. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way as Lefty Tiger. I mean, I don't have a problem seeing Toronto win it. They're just a good baseball team.
I just like the proof that just because you have a historically large salary for your team doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win the World Series.
Gotta play baseball. The game. You gotta play the game, right? It's fascinating, man. Game 6 tomorrow night is going to be a lot of fun. We've got to run to a break because we've got the States segment with Chapel Fowler next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates. Presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sportsbooks, an injury ruins your whole football parlay. But not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play Insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Every Thursday at this time, it's the States segment. We rotate with Chapel Fowler of the State newspaper and Jordan Kay. Chapel covers Clemson. Jordan covers South Carolina. And we bring on Chapel Fowler for today's State segment as Clemson prepares for Duke this Saturday, a noon home game for the Tigers. And Chapel, the second time this year, the Tigers are coming off of a bye week. Does that bye week, in your mind, impact the way that you think about Saturday's game, Chapel, or are you pretty much, is your mind pretty much made up on who this Clemson team is?
Good to be on with you guys. I think my mind's kind of made up at this point. I'm not sure what an off week does for Clemson at this point. Besides, you know, notably maybe helps quarterback Cade Klubnik heal up that ankle injury a little bit more to where he can play. But in terms of like grand changes or anything, I really don't think so. I think this team has showed us time and time again who they are, which is specific to this year, a very mediocre team. So, I don't think an extra week does them anything. You know, maybe it's a good little mental reset, and maybe we see that translate. Obviously, they went 2-1 in their last little pocket of the season coming out of their previous bye week, but those two wins were against teams that aren't great in UNC and Boston College. So, I don't think too much shifts. I think we kind of know what Clemson is at this point in the year.
And, Chapel, what is the absolute latest on Cade Klubnik's recovery? The question I would have is, can they slap a couple extra wraps of tape on that ankle and have him go out there and be pretty well okay? Where exactly is he?
Yeah, so the first ACC availability report of the week for this weekend's games will come out tonight at 8 p.m., so that'll be worth monitoring. Cade was listed as questionable heading into the last game against SMU. No Clemson player who's been listed as questionable has ever ended up playing in a game.
Wow.
In this very limited, like, 3 or 4 week sample size of Clemson having to do ACC availability reports. So, you know, that's not a years-long thing. It's just specific to this year. When a guy's been questionable, they haven't played. So Cade, in the last game, I said last week, but it was 2 weeks ago, he went questionable, game-time decision, and he obviously didn't play against SMU and really wasn't close. You know, he didn't dress past very initial, like, pregame warm-ups. So I guess we'll see tonight. We were told by Dabo last night that Cade has been able to practice, quote, a good bit. What that really means and how much he's actually been able to participate, I'm not sure. I'd say it's probably coin flippy, maybe a little bit closer chances to him playing just because of that extra week. He hasn't talked to us in the media, but he did a number of, like, interviews with national outlets a few weeks ago as one of his NIL packages, as part of one of his NIL deals, and kind of, you know, that's not the type of thing you usually trot a guy out for if they're out for the season or anything. And he kind of addressed his injury and said, I'll be back soon, hopefully, that type of stuff. So I think we may see him on Saturday, but, you know, maybe another surprise. Who knows?
Chapel, along those same lines, with the bye week changing your mind on this team, does the status of Cade Klubnik and whether he goes or not change your mind in terms of what they do Saturday against Duke?
A little bit. I think it's the type of situation where, you know, I don't know. I'd be interested, like, to do a Clemson fan poll on what people think about Cade Klubnik. You know, I don't think anybody loves him to death and thinks he's the greatest quarterback in Clemson history, because, no, he isn't. But I feel like in these last, like, few weeks, like, we're coming down the stretch run of his time with Clemson, like, people are, you know, starting to rally behind him, or at least saying, hey, you know, we appreciate what you've done for us. You know, I think that could be a rallying cry of sorts. Like, imagine, like, Cade comes back, he has a really good game against Duke, and, you know, the home crowd that's been sitting in those bleachers waiting for a win, waiting for something exciting at home for so long this year, finally gets a chance to cheer and get fired up. I could see that kind of being a little wind in the sails moment to end the year. So I think for that reason alone, like, momentum-wise, it could. But I think you saw with Vezina and the last thing with SMU, he can do close to what everything Klubnik does. He obviously has his limitations, just like Cade does. But the difference between the two is not a drastic drop-off to the point where, you know, if Cade doesn't play, I don't think the point spread's going to drop another point or so before kickoff or anything like that. I think what Vezina showed against SMU is pretty indicative of how stuff will look regardless.
Chapel, given what we know now, would you put Cade Klubnik top 10 Clemson quarterbacks all time?
Top 10, I'd say probably yes. I think if you look at all the statistics, the production, the win-loss record, and I'm pulling this out of my head, not off the stat sheet, but I want to say he has something like, he's tied right now for the seventh most wins by a Clemson quarterback since World War II, so kind of this modern era. I think he's actually tied with DJU still, because he tied DJ with the Boston College win. So still needs to get past him. But I'd say top 10 is pretty comfortable. You know, he's going to finish in the top five or six of things like total touchdowns, passing touchdowns, total offense, that type of stuff. And, you know, two ACC championships, two ACC championship MVPs, one CFP appearance. I think that's probably enough to put him in the top 10. How much higher past that, I'm not sure, but I'll give him that for sure.
Chapel, we saw what SMU and Kevin Jennings was able to do to Clemson's defense. It was not a good outing defensively by Clemson a couple of weeks ago on that Saturday afternoon in Death Valley. What do you think Darian Mensah and that staff can use film-wise based on what SMU did, and how do you think that turns into what you'll see Saturday?
Yeah, I think they're licking their chops, honestly, and I don't know why you wouldn't. Like, Clemson, so many key moments against that in that SMU game. You know, they have a cover three bust on a very routine play call in the first quarter, and that's how that 70-yard touchdown to Hudson happened at a time when the defense had been playing so well. And then you go to that very last key third down they had. It was like a third and 10 around midfield. Clemson needs a stop. They line up in a stack formation. SMU calls a timeout. They come out, same stack formation that's been hurting Clemson all game, and they have a miscommunication between the corners, Terrell and Gibson, and then the guys running free down the sideline, easy conversion. So it's not just the big stuff. It's like the little stuff, too. And it's just been adding up. I think if you look at the defensive rankings, Clemson and things like total defense and points per game allowed are pretty, you know, solid. Not great, but not terrible. The passing defense numbers are where you kind of get into the shakier territory. I think there's something like 78th in passing defense, a lot of kind of chunk plays, 10 plus yards, between 10 and 20 yards allowed. So they've shown over the course of this year that they are very susceptible to getting gashed. And, you know, Mensah leads the ACC, and I think he's number one in the country as well in passing yards per game. And Duke averages like 36 points per game in four ACC games so far. So I'd imagine they want to sling it, and Clemson's going to have to stop them.
Chapel, as a media member who does not have college ties to Clemson, you're not covering your alma mater, and as a guy that just wants the team that you're covering to be good because it's more entertaining and more fun to cover that kind of team, are you surprised or disappointed by the lack of public frustration from Clemson fans over the struggles that we're seeing? Because we get a lot of, oh, it's okay, we'll get them next year, it's fine. I mean, everything was stacked up this year for it to be a deep, deep playoff run and a national championship. And basically none of that has come to fruition. None of it has looked the way that it should. Are you shocked that Clemson fans are not more upset about this?
My Twitter replies tell me that people are upset. I know that's kind of like a specific group of people that are prone to outrage. But I think there's a decent amount, I'd say more than enough frustration, maybe sometimes a little out of bounds with some of the player complaints, but I get it. Like, these are people, and I always think about it this way. Like, we're so lucky as media members, like, the way that I attend a Clemson game is so different than what a regular fan does. And, you know, we have free parking, free access to the games, meals in the press box, like, things are kind of catered to us. Obviously, there's a trade-off of that, and that's what the media business is. It's not like we're just sitting there messing around all game, but compare that to, you know, what an average fan has to pay, the time commitment, parking far away, all this stuff, like, all that, and you get to a game and your team's playing like that, I totally understand the frustration. So, I mean, I think I've seen a decent amount of it, a fair amount, I'd say, just given the rising cost of everything, and, you know, fans are always being asked to donate more, and season tickets are more expensive, and parking's more expensive, and if you're paying all that money and the result is this team right here, 3-4, 1-3 at home, hasn't beaten a power of conference team at home since October 24 over a calendar year ago. Like, I get it. So I feel like I've gotten enough frustration, at least on my end. But I know, again, Twitter's a very specific group of fans that maybe are more prone to expressing such outrage online.
Chapel, when you look at Saturday, we've talked about Darian Mensah. Do you feel like that Clemson defensively is capable of stacking performances of improvement? I mean, you've still got Castellanos and Florida State coming up. You've still got, you know, South Carolina and Lenora Sellers on the schedule. Do you feel like this defense, from what you've seen this year, is, whether it's scheme or just personnel issues in terms of them not being where they're supposed to be, do you feel like this defense is capable of making a run and stacking some good performances down the stretch?
I think they have the talent to do it. I doubt that it happens. But I think if you look at that SMU game, especially early, again, this comes back to the lack of complimentary football, that thing that's kind of plagued Clemson all year. The defense really did play well against Kevin Jennings and SMU for, you know, about the first half. I mean, they had that really bad 70-yard touchdown bust we talked about earlier. But, you know, a lot of three and outs. You know, they had an interception late in the game to kind of give the offense a chance to get it down to a score. Obviously, they couldn't get the stop they needed after that. But there is some potential there. You know, I mean, Will Helt has been playing like his hair's on fire. Sammy Brown's been great. I think Terrell and Hampton have kind of stacked a number of good games on top of each other at those two outside corner positions. This team is obviously lacking, you know, the legit amount of talent and speed and just like dude mentality that you really need to lock down people like they were doing in the Venables era. But I think there's enough talent on the roster to stack some good performances. But, you know, all the little stuff piling up and a good performance here, a bad performance there, a good few drives and then a coverage bust, like that type of stuff has followed them no matter who they're playing, Power Five or whoever. So I really don't think it'll happen, but I think, you know, they have the bodies. You know, if the Peter Woods, TJ Parker starts playing out of their mind, what you're talking about, that definitely could happen.
Talking to Chapel Fowler of the State newspaper, at Chapel Fowler is where you can find and follow him on Twitter. Reed Ramsey are choosing to visit a Big Ten team instead of Clemson Duke. If you're Clemson, if you're Dabo Sweeney, what is your concern level over that?
I'm not too familiar with that guy specifically. I know what, so where is he going instead? I know it's a 2027 guy going game instead.
It just said he was going to a Big Ten game. It wasn't specific as to which Big Ten game.
Gotcha. I mean, here's the thing with Clemson recruiting. I know there's been decommitments and stuff too. That's concerning to me because for years, like if you look at Clemson's average recruiting ranking, it's never been, you know, top five or anything, but they've had consistent, you know, 10 to 15 range. Like I think last year's was like 28th. And I know it was a very small class that got just hammered by decommitments, but like this year's class, I think is sitting at like 17th right now with the decommitment of Stansel a few nights ago. Like if you're not replenishing with guys like that, what does that say about where you're at in the high school recruiting game? And does that mean you need to, you know, switch up some stuff there, change your messaging, or maybe it's an NIL rev share issue, or maybe that means go get more portal guys. And that was a lot to figure out, not just on field, but off field. And then the high school and transfer stuff kind of runs together. There needs to be a modernizing of that operation. I'm not sure how to do it. But, you know, Clemson really sold itself for a long time. You know, with Dabo and his personality and the program and the history, like they were getting dudes left and right. Like, just look at, you know, their top all-time recruits list. Like, there's some really good players on there. That trend is not, you know, not here anymore. Like, they're getting five-star here, four-star here, Amari Adams, Sammy Brown, you know, pick your poison. But the consistent level, even when they're not, you know, getting a top five class, 10 to 15 range, that really has not been the case the last few. So I think that kind of encapsulates some of the struggles, stuff like that, you know, like a kid visiting a Big Ten school instead of Clemson. You usually don't worry about that if you're Clemson, but now you have to.
Well, and to that point, he is a four-star interior offensive lineman, and his 247 profile lists that he has interests in Ohio State, Penn State, UCLA, Purdue. So it could possibly be one of those.
Yeah, I mean, those schools are competing with Clemson. They have for a while, some of them, but, you know, you're looking at schools like a UCLA or whoever. Like, these are not the type of schools that Clemson is finding itself competing against for recruits now, and maybe even losing out recruits to, are schools that for the longest time they really were on an equal playing field with, if not a little bit higher. You look at where some of the people flipped to in last year's class, like, you probably don't anticipate a defensive back flipping to Georgia Tech late in the cycle. That's what Tay Harris did. A guy flipping to Duke, Bryce Davis. I think it kind of speaks to the modern aspect of college football and how NIL and rev share have kind of leveled that playing field. But even within that, there are some teams that are still at that elite level that are still raking in great classes. Georgia, Ohio State comes to mind. I don't really know where Clemson fits in at this very moment within kind of that power ranking.
Chapel, with that being said, on the recruiting question, how does Dabo Swinney respond to that? Two straight years, he's lost guys that were up there in the recruiting rankings and guys that were probably going to be counted on to be immediate impact kind of guys. Where does that leave Dabo in terms of what he does this offseason in the portal in your mind?
Yeah, some quick numbers on that. I'm pulling up a story I read on Stancil from last night. So that is now, they've had 10 guys decommit over the last two classes combined. In nine of those instances, it's been something that happened in August to December of the cycles, you know, the last 2 or 3 months of the cycle. And in all those instances, the guys either committed to another power school, later on flipped to another power conference school. They have two guys in their 26 class that are currently decommitted from Clemson and not committed anywhere else, but they're obviously going to end up at a power conference school. So I think, like, trends like that are impossible to ignore. Like, if your issue is you get guys during the summer and then you can't hold on to them down the stretch in the fall, and it happens that many times, like, that is not, you know, that's not like a bug. That's a feature. That's something that you got to address, because for years that was never an issue. Like, Clemson had maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 total decommits in a 5 or 6 year period when they were really ramping it up and winning titles and everything. So again, part of it is like the modern state of college football, and it's hard to hold on to guys. And sometimes insert school X suddenly has more money to throw at someone, and it's just a much better situation, and anybody in that kid's spot would take the money. But I think it just kind of shows, again, we were talking about things need to get modernized. I'm not sure how. High school recruiting is hard to handle. Kids are so fickle. They commit, they decommit. Like, I'm glad I'm not having to do that for a program, because I wouldn't do a good job of it. But, you know, their GM and people like that get paid big bucks to figure that out. So I think changes are needed there. I'm not sure the path forward, but I think you can't look at that and say we're going to do the exact same thing over again next year.
Chapel, maybe this is a question we won't know the answer to until the end of the season or going into the next portal cycle, but I do find it interesting that the two of the transfers this offseason, Tristan Smith and Will Helt, are both tapped as captains in this weekend's game against Duke. Do you think maybe Dabo Swinney could see that guys that he brought in via the transfer portal are not the boogeyman, and that they, you know, gave him enough to become captains on his team, and maybe that would lead him down the path to more and more transfers?
I mean, if I'm a Clemson fan, I certainly hope so. You know, I think it's very overdue, but I think this year is very much like proof of concept. Not only have the two guys that you mentioned and Jeremiah Alexander, I guess to a lesser degree been like impactful for Clemson, but like fans freaking love those guys. Like, I mean, I'm sure y'all see it whenever they're making a play or they're talking to the media. Like, I feel like I can't tweet something about Tristan Smith and not get, you know, 100 likes. Like, people love that kid. People love Will Help. People like Jeremiah Alexander. So I think, and I think it's because to some degree they've been so like starved to, you know, have their program really modernize and take guys like that. And, you know, I know Dabo has his reasonings for not taking transfers over the years. Like, I personally think Clemson could have used a few more transfers on this year's team. And I think anybody watching them would agree with that. I think most people would agree they need like 7 to 10 transfers on next year's team if they're going to turn this thing around. So I think something like that is a good firm indication of, you know, these guys aren't hurting the culture. These guys are adding to the culture. Like, they love playing at Clemson. Tristan Smith loves playing at Clemson. Will Help, you know what? He won 4 games at Purdue the previous 2 years. Like, he wanted to come to a big time school and have a better chance to compete and play in front of big crowds and stuff like that. So I think the fact that those two guys are captains this late in the year, kind of is proof of concept. Like you said, that is something that helps you, doesn't hurt you, but it probably shouldn't have taken this many additional years to figure that out.
Chapel, you're the best, man. As always, appreciate the heck out of you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Chapel Fowler, the state newspaper, Clemson Duke on Saturday. Gut feeling on that, Diesel?
Gut feeling tells me Clemson doesn't have enough, and they don't have everything figured out, and a bye week is probably not going to fix it.
That's awful.
Gut tells me that Clemson is going to be in a dogfight late in this ball game. I don't think this game is going to be decided by more than about 7 points.
So you think Duke pulls it out?
I think Duke has a very good chance of pulling this game out.
I guess I'm giving them one too many chances. My gut's telling me Clemson's going to find the way to get it done Saturday. Maybe I'm just being way too optimistic with them. Probably am, but we'll see. We shall see.
When we come back, Cole, it is time to do our whip around the sports world. Our Daily Wires next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tolos, get us your upset picks for week number 10. The Upset Picks Challenge is open. We need your name, your game, and the spread. Jersey Joe just got his upset pick in, and sorry to tell you, Joe, I got some bad news for you.
No.
It's coming here in just a second. It'll be part of the Daily Wires. But Cole, we touched on it there in the first segment. The unbeatable Dodgers, excuse me, the buzz around the sports world. The unbeatable Dodgers will now head back to Toronto in a 3-2 hole after they shelled Blake Snell last night in Los Angeles. Blake Snell gave up a 373-foot home run on the first pitch of the game to leadoff hitter Davis Schneider. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. followed that up with a 394-footer in the very next at-bat. Snell lasted into the sixth, but a few wild pitches later, and the Blue Jays blew it wide open, 6-1 final.
Yeah, you know, you've heard so many people say this has been the best World Series in a long time. I think a lot of that has to do with the unthinkable, the Dodgers being unbeatable and you know, them having lost games. It's been incredible.
It's great for ratings, too. You know, people want to see the empire go down. Two players, pitcher Jose Urania and infielder Buddy Kennedy, are set to receive championship rings regardless of the outcome of this 2025 World Series. Both players spent time on both the Dodgers and the Blue Jays rosters during the season. Kennedy started the year with the Phillies before joining the Blue Jays in July, then moved to the Dodgers, then back to the Blue Jays. Urania also played for both teams during the season, making them eligible for championship rings.
Isn't that crazy?
Due to their contributions, regardless of who wins.
That is wild, man. Going back and forth, back and forth, whatever it takes.
And Urania finished the season as an Angel. How crazy is that? Nebraska coach Matt Rhule just signed a 2-year contract extension this morning, which will take him through the 2032 season. This is interesting, Cole. There's an innovative clause that says every time Nebraska qualifies for the CFP, his base salary for each year on the deal increases by $1 million.
Wow. Must be nice, right?
Yeah, really interesting. But the good thing is, I guess, for Nebraska, if he never makes the playoff, they don't have to up his salary.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
A win-win. A win-win for both Nebraska and Rhule. Yeah.
Either that, but Nebraska doesn't win because they don't get in the playoff.
Yeah. True.
Speaking of Jersey Joe's upset pick, this is might change some of your minds if you haven't gotten your upset pick yet. Cincinnati senior running back Evan Pryor will be officially listed as out with an ankle injury on the Big 12 availability report for the game at number 24 Utah on Saturday. He had 66 carries for 478 yards and 3 touchdowns going into this game.
That was one of the games I looked at.
That was a heavily picked game.
Boy, am I glad I didn't take it.
I want to see here, Cole, if the line has shifted on that game. Let me jump down.
I wouldn't guess
it
much.
Is not.
Yeah, for
it
a running back. Now, if it were a quarterback instead of a running back, then yeah, it would.
I mean, it is their leading running back, though.
Yeah, but they just don't, lines don't move because of running backs.
You're right. Last night produced two entertaining college football games, Jacksonville State 24, Middle Tennessee State 21. Those Gamecocks scored 17 points in the fourth quarter to beat the Blue Raiders. And also last night, Missouri State 28, Florida International 21. This went viral, Cole. I don't know if you saw this on social. Missouri State's Robert Plaster Stadium has a very unique feature, a men's room where you can relieve yourself with a view of the field.
I did. Only in you said in Texas State?
That's Missouri.
Missouri State?
Missouri State.
You know, only in college football do you see something like that, right?
I think we need more of that. Yeah. I think that is a brilliant move. I've said for years, Cole, that if you have to get up and go to the bathroom during a movie, you should be able to scan your movie ticket, and while you pee,
watch
a screen
on the wall.
You to the point of the movie that you left off on.
Yeah.
NCAA basketball officially tips off on Monday, Cole, with number 5 St. John's taking on, oddly enough, Quinnipiac.
No way.
Not I'm dead no serious. That way. Is the first
game of the season. We talked about that school yesterday.
Right. Well, we talked about the Quinnipiac poll.
That's right.
Not Quinnipiac University, but we did mention the school. Carson Wentz took a shot at the critics who said that he shouldn't have played and took a shot at the team as well, saying that he didn't want Kevin O'Connell to remove him from Thursday's game against the Chargers. Quote, "This isn't my first rodeo. I'm not an idiot. I know what I was signing up for going out there. Nobody was forcing me, pressuring me, any of those things." Huh. Wentz was placed on IR this week and will have season-ending surgery to repair his left shoulder. Lions edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson signed a brand-new four-year extension. The deal is worth $180 million, with $144 million of that guaranteed, making him the second-highest-paid non-quarterback in the NFL behind Micah Parsons.
Making that money.
And last one here for you, Cole. Charlotte Hornets star point guard LaMelo Ball was fined $35,000 for flipping off a referee during the Hornets' 144-117 loss to the Heat. He was whistled for an offensive foul. He told the ref he was number one and was assessed a technical foul with 4 minutes to play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, can't do that. Kevin Muggs got his upset pick in. Continue to do so. Tolo's 844-326-3663. Diesel and I will tell you, or remind you, what game we picked in the Upset Pick Challenge. Need yours at 844-FAN-PHONE. In the very next segment, Diesel, I'm going to put you to the test, and I'm going to try to do the same. We're going to break out the dictionary, and we're going to play one word. You describe a certain coach or a certain team that I'm going to present to you and the Tolos in one word. Also, calling for your upset picks next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% fan cash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.